Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the June 1st, 2022 meeting of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. I want to thank everybody for who's listening or watching for being prepared to join us early. It was the best we could do under the circumstances, and I apologize for anybody that we are disturbing by starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. This is a public meeting, so let me start with a couple of notes. This is a public meeting, meaning we are people, the public can listen and watch. They cannot say anything, but they can listen and watch. So it's important that for a couple of things. One is when you speak, please announce yourself so they, if they are listening only, they will know who you are. Secondly, when you are not speaking, please mute yourself and then unmute when you need to say something, and then just announce yourself when you unmute. With that, again, thank you, and let me ask Ms. Cowan to take roll.
Judge Rubin.
I am here.
Judge Mormon.
Present.
Judge Botke is absent. Justice Fujisaki. Justice Hill.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Hopp.
Here.
Mr. Harrigan.
Here.
Thank you. We have six of seven members, just Judge Rubin.
Outstanding. Thank you. So we have quorum. So let me start with public comment. We did get public comment. We circulated it. Does anybody feel any need to say anything more about it, or can we just move on? Anybody? Did everybody, first of all, did everybody get it? If not, say something.
Okay, so Judge Rubin, this is Judge Hopp. Since considering the source of this, I will add one comment. The thought is, and this doesn't make it right, but here's the theory. The theory is that the goal of new judges is to open new courtrooms, and that the Riverside County Superior Court will not be able to do that if it doesn't get additional money for staff. That's the theory behind that comment.
Thank you. And I think as we discussed last time this happened, the money is already accounted for in the workload formula. Any other comments? All right, hearing none. All right, thank you very much for that, Judge Hopp, though. Then moving past a couple public comment, we have the minutes. And with respect to the minutes, there was a request for modification by Justice Fujisaki. I thought she made a great point. Does anybody having reviewed the minutes want to make a motion? And in your motion, maybe identify whether or not with or without Justice Fujisaki's modification.
What was that modification?
It clarified that if you look at the first set of BCPs, it's actually combined into two individual sets. They're not, there's not four, there's not, it, each of those sets, A, B, and I think C, or A and B in that first item, is actually one combined BCP in each of those subletters. I think I suggested that. Is that right, Ms. Justice Fujisaki? Did I get that
yeah,
right?
So I can read kind of how I thought it might go. So right now it says for subdivision or for section A, it says the following groups of concepts are approved and shall be combined into one funding request. And I thought it would be better to clarify it to say the following concepts are approved and shall be combined as indicated into three funding requests.
With that clarification, this is Judge Hopp. I move to approve the minutes.
All right, we have a motion by Judge Hopp. Is there a second?
Second.
Was that, who was that?
Either one.
Who seconded it?
Second.
All right, thank you. So we have a motion, Hopp. Second, Harrigan. Is there further discussion? All right, hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. All right, motion passes. All right. So I had to sort of memorize the lineup. I hope I'm not missing anything. I think we're now moving into the discussion items. Is that right, Judge Warman?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Let me turn it over to Judge Conklin. Judge Conklin, so I just wanted to say this. So this is what makes this meeting important for us is that the items that you see do account for a very, very large amount of the operations money that's distributed or allocated throughout the branch to the trial court. So this is an important meeting. So I turn it over to Judge Conklin. I think we acknowledge the importance of TICFAC's work on this. And Judge Conklin, maybe you can start at the top and we'll go through each one.
Thanks, Judge Rubin. Good morning, everybody. So on behalf of TICFAC, I'm here today without Rebecca Fleming. She sends her best. She's, as I always say, the brains behind the business, but she's unavailable. So please consider all of these presented from both of us. What we're going to present to you today are four separate allocations, as Judge Rubin has noted, that account for a significant amount of the working budget for the trial courts. There'll be a fifth item. They're going to ask you to consider a slight modification, and then two informational items. What I'm going to do is introduce each of these items and then turn it over to staff. As we all know, staff are the ones that really have the down in the weeds knowledge of each of these. I will tell you that each of these allocations have been significantly vetted through the Funding Methodology Subcommittee of TICFAC, and then TICFAC itself, and now to you for presentation to the council at its July meeting. So that's the steps that are being taken. And while I anticipate that most of these presentations will be relatively brief, as I've said in the past, the brevity should not be mistaken for lack of work or thoroughness. A tremendous amount of work has gone into this from Martin getting us the money and staff, then budget services making recommendations through TICFAC to us about how to best allocate. So we'll start right away with allocations from the court appointed dependency council. This is an annual item considered by TICFAC. As I've said, this addresses allocations of funds for court appointed dependency council. The recommendation today is in three parts, and with us to present that is Audrey. And Audrey, I'll turn it over to you just to give us the details of the court-appointed dependency allocation recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Yes, we're here today to discuss three recommendations regarding court-appointed dependency council funding, as well as to provide a brief update on funding for fiscal year 21-22. The recommended allocations are based on the current $156.7 million annual budget for court-appointed juvenile dependency council, consistent with the governor's proposed budget. The first recommendation is to amend the court-appointed dependency council funding allocation methodology as it relates to small court funding adjustments. As you are aware, the council's allocation methodology for dependency council includes several adjustments to ensure that small courts have adequate allocations to meet their needs. These adjustments transfer approximately $1 million from the larger courts to the smaller courts. The current methodology specifies that this offset be provided by reducing the budgets of larger courts receiving increases. However, in fiscal year 21-22, the council received a one-time funding augmentation of $10 million for COVID-related expenses in dependency council. As a result, in fiscal year 22-23, almost all large courts will be receiving allocation decreases, and those few courts receiving an increase would be heavily impacted by the small court adjustment. Since the reallocation referenced in the January 2019 report is completed, and all courts are currently funded at the same percentage of need, TICFAC recommends that the current methodology be revised so that funding for all our courts be adjusted to offset the cost for small court funding. TICFAC recommends that the council make this change even if additional funding is provided in the fiscal year 22-23 budget act, since the current methodology is based on offsetting the impact of a statewide reallocation that is now complete. The second recommendation is to clarify that court-appointed dependency council funding allocation methodology as it relates to the survey of entry-level county council salaries. And I should note first and second-level county council salaries. As you are aware, factors in this for this allocation include a three-year rolling average of original dependency filings, a three-year rolling average of the number of children in foster care, the Bureau of Labor Statistics governmental salary index average as modified for other council budget allocation. The methodology also includes using the statewide median county council salary. In describing the method used for the county council survey, I quote the rationale of the 2016 report, which reads, "The subcommittee determined that two data sources should be used, current county council salaries at the median of the first two salary ranges reported by counties and the Bureau of Labor Statistics current index. County council represent the child welfare department in dependency proceedings and are roughly parallel in skills and experience to court-appointed dependency counsel. County council salary information is publicly available and can be used to update the workload model on a regular basis. However, the update cycle was not specified in the report and the salary survey has not been updated since 2016. Updating the salary will result in county council medium salary figure that will increase the total funding need reported to the judicial council each year. And you may see attachment 1A at page 14 of the PDF file at column C to see that adjustment. Note the medium salary is used to calculate funding need and is not a salary guideline, nor will it increase the amount allocated to courts, which is dependent on funding provided in the Budget Act each year. TICFAC recommends that the methodology be clarified to specify that the county council medium salary be updated on an annual basis. The third recommendation is to request approval and submission for fiscal year 22-23 funding allocations to the judicial council for consideration at its July meeting, noting that the allocations may change based on final appropriations included in the signed 2022 Budget Act. That recommendation is shown also on attachment 1A at page 14 of the file. Finally, we'd like to provide an update regarding court-appointed dependency council funding for fiscal year 21-22. As described in the report, in March 22, the council approved the allocation of approximately $1.5 million in Family First Prevention Services Act augmentation funding to eligible courts, contingent upon actual receipt of the funding, to support legal activities by attorneys representing children and their parents at a new juvenile court hearing held under Assembly Bill 153. In consultation with the California Department of Social Services, council staff have determined that this will necessitate a lengthy sequence of steps and approvals before this funding can be made available to the courts. The funding is being incorporated into the council's interbranch agreement with CDSS for next year, and courts and dependency council will have access to these funds in fiscal year 22-23 and ongoing. In closing, we'd be happy to answer any questions and request JBBC approval of three TICFAC recommendations for court-appointed dependency council methodology and funding for consideration by the council at its July business meeting. Revising the current court-appointed dependency council funding allocation methodology to specify the cost of the small court adjustment be funded at a pro rata adjustment to the funding allocations of all courts not falling under the definition of small court in this methodology. Specifying that the county council medium salary survey be updated on an annual basis beginning for fiscal year 22-23 and fiscal year 22-23 funding allocations based on the recommended amended methodology.
Audrey, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Audrey. And those recommendations as just read are set forth at page 11 of 54 of the materials. Questions?
All right. Are there any, is there any questions for Judge Johnson or Audrey? All right, is there a motion?
Hill moves approval.
Hop second.
And that's of all three recommendations, Justice Hill?
It is, yes, thank you.
All right, is there a
Judge
second?
Moorman second.
All right, Hill moves, Moorman seconds. Is there further discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, abstain. All right. Passing unanimously. All right, go ahead, Judge Honkman.
Thank you very much, folks. We're moving on to item two. Item two and three are probably the most significant allegations you'll deal with today, but also probably the most, I hesitate to use the word routine because that implies that it's not important, but both the IMF and the TCTF recommendations are ones that I think you're all familiar with. The first recommendation we're going to deal with is set forth at page 14 of your materials. Shirley Mohammed is with us as a brief introduction. As I just mentioned, this, along with the TCTF allocation to the next item, is an annual item that you've considered, that the council considers each year. The IMF has sort of gone back and forth in years past as far as its health, and this is a good health year. This is a year where the IMF has the funds that we think are necessary to maintain the level of funding that's important to all of us. And I'm going to let Shirley Mohammed, who's now joined us, detail those allegations. Again, they're set forth at page 14, and they conclude with a recommendation at page 18. Shirley?
Thank you, Judge. Hello, everyone. My name is Shirley Mohammed, and I am an analyst in Budget Services. Item 2 of today's agenda is a recommendation from the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, or TCBAC, requesting approval from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund, IMF for short, for the upcoming 2022-23 fiscal year. The total request is for $45.4 million, which is $9.6 million less than last year. The reduction is primarily due to one-time cost, as well as expiring budget change proposal funding. Attachment 2A on page 19 of the materials outlines the numeric details of the request by program, and at the bottom of the page by office. Column D reflects the approved allocations from last year, and column E to G reflect the recommendation allocations for 2022-23. Attachment 2B on pages 20 and 21 provide detailed descriptions for each of the 34 programs outlined in attachment 2A. Attachment 2C on page 22 is the IMF fund condition statement. In this, you will see that based on current revenue estimates, as well as audit findings of approximately $5 million, that the fund is estimated to have the ability to sustain the program request for the foreseeable future. Approval of the requested allocations will leave an estimated fund balance in the IMF of approximately $16.4 million. We have invited office leaders and program representatives to today's meeting should you have any questions. The TCBAC recommendation on page 18 is to approve the 2022-23 IMF allocations in the amount of $45.4 million. This concludes our presentation, and we're happy to take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Charlie, thank you so much. And I should just step back for a moment, because I've always tried to be in the practice of explaining what these funds are, even though I think you all know it. So we have the IMF, which is the Improvement and Modernization Fund. That's what we're dealing with now. The report sets out how what this fund is used to every year to maintain operations. And it's essentially services provided to the courts, and I'm overgeneralizing. The next is the TCTF, which is the Trial Court Trust Fund, and those are dollars flowing to the trial courts for their operations. So again, just a gross generalization, but I wanted to make sure everybody understood the difference between the IMF and the TCTF. And with that, we're asking you to consider the recommendation on your report. It's the report details it, but it's finally set out at page 18, and it's simply that you adopt the recommendation for the $45,384,000 of preliminary allocations from the IMF.
Are there any questions for Judge Conklin or Ms. Mohammed? All right, hearing none, is there a motion?
Mormon will move to adopt a recommendation for a total of $45,384,000 in the preliminary allocations for the 22-23 budget year, for consideration by the council at the July meeting.
Hop second.
All right. So
sorry, I'll defer to Justice Hill.
All right. That's all right. We have a motion by Mormon, and we have seconds by both Hop and Hill. All right. Is there, which is like half the committee. So are there further discussion? Is there further discussion? All right. Hearing none, I'll call the vote. Then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right, passes unanimously. Judge Conklin, go ahead.
Thank you very much. So now we're moving on to probably, as far as an amount, the most significant allocation you're going to be asked to consider today. But again, considering the work that's gone into it, it is supported by TICBAC without hesitation. And this is a consideration of nearly $3 billion to the trial courts that includes multiple components. There's some allocation methodology recommendations in here. And again, to refresh everybody, when we talk about allocation methodologies, it's exactly what it implies or what it states. It's the method that we're using to allocate the funds. And there's different methodologies related to different funds. Here, there are some allocation methodology recommendations for new funding in the governor's budget. Those new fundings is always so appreciated and beneficial to the court, but with that new funding comes new decisions that have to be made about the methodology to allocate that funding. This year, the governor's included $100 million in equity for equity funding, which is essentially, again, to overgeneralize, but to do our best to address that all the courts have the same percentage of funding necessary to do their business within certain parameters. $84.2 million for inflationary costs, or sometimes what's referred to as CPI, and $31 million for new judgeships. Michelle Allen, who is always welcome, and we're glad to see her again today, is here to get to a little bit of the nuts and bolts of these allocations, and we're all here to consider questions. With that, Michelle, thank you so much. I'll turn it over to you.
You're welcome. Good morning. My name is Michelle Allen. I am a supervisor with Budget Services. Item 3 for your consideration is the preliminary 2022-23 trial court allocations for base, discretionary, and non-discretionary programs from the Trial Court Trust Fund, State Court Facilities Construction Fund, and General Fund. These include recommendations from the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, funding proposed in the governor's budget, and workload formula and methodologies approved by the Judicial Council. The governor's budget proposal reflects critical investments to advance equal access for all Californians and is the largest budget ever for the judicial branch. New funding for the trial courts includes 3 distinct purposes that address inflationary cost pressures, fiscal equity among the 58 trial courts, and judicial workload needs. Beginning with the new proposals for funding, the TICBAC recommends allocating the new funding by first allocating the inflationary funding of $84.2 million as 3.8% increase over each court's 2021-22 workload formula allocation, consistent with the approach taken with current year inflationary increase received. Second, allocating the equity funding of $100 million by bringing courts below the statewide average as close to the statewide average funding level as calculated for 2022-23, where each court is brought up to the same workload formula percentage and consistent with how equity funding was allocated in 2018-19. And lastly, allocating the new judgeship funding of $31.2 million based on the council-approved workload formula methodology with non-sheriff security funding reduced from the funding amount prior to allocation and consistent with the approach taken when judgeship funding was received 2 years ago. Next, Attachment 3A details the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee's recommendations on $220 million in Trial Court Trust Fund allocations for various programs. This attachment includes approved allocations from this current year, requested allocations for 2022-23, and 2 summaries of the total allocations displayed cumulatively by each office and by each trial court trust fund program. Next, Attachment 3B provides details of recommended trial court trust fund preliminary allocations displaying base, discretionary, and non-discretionary programs from the trial court trust fund in the amount of $2.853 billion. Included in this amount is $2.339 billion in trial court trust fund base allocations. This document includes allocations from the workload formula and is used to assist courts in breaking down their various allocation categories. Next, Attachment 3C details the 2022-23 workload formula allocation information of $2.447 billion, with the total by court shown in column W, and provides the workload formula need and funding percentage should all proposed funding be included in the 2022 Budget Act. Lastly, the materials include a trial court trust fund condition statement indicating that the fund is projected to have adequate funds to support these requests. The information is outlined in Attachment 3D, with projections indicating a fund balance of $137.5 million at the end of 2022-23, of which $61.3 million is restricted. The recommendations presented to the Budget Committee for consideration are listed on pages 27 and 28 of the materials, contingent on the proposed funding being included in the enacted budget. Please note that since these are preliminary allocations, some modifications may be necessary based on future state revenue revisions and priority changes. That concludes our presentation. Budget Services and program staff are on the call to assist in answering questions as needed.
Thanks, Michelle. And we've got Zlatko with us, who I is going to make, and I think just help clarify some methodologies that we are also going to continue to work on. Zlatko?
No, thank you, Judge Conklin. As you know, the governor's budget proposed some revisions to the civil assessment level, and TICBAC is in the process of looking at that issue. And so we feel that it'd be appropriate to consider approving the allocation of the civil assessment revenues that are in the model at this time, knowing that there's going to be future action on the civil assessment issue by TICBAC and ultimately coming through to JBBC and to the council.
Right. And Judge Conklin, I think TICBAC will be handling that issue separately and bringing it back to JBBC separately. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. That's well on our radar, I guess, is the best way to put it right now. If not in the ballpark, to use a sports analogy that you prefer.
Or, you know, it should be filling your windshield about now so you can see it.
Yeah, all right. It's a big windshield.
Yeah. All right. So, are there questions for either Mr. Theodorovic, Judge Conklin, or Michelle regarding this item? I'm not hearing any. All right. Is there a motion? And I guess a motion that would take into account excising from this particular these recommendations anything to do with civil assessments until TICBAC has an opportunity to assess where we are after the governor's budget is signed, once we know exactly what's happening.
Hill, I will move with the provision that we consider the civil assessment later.
And just to make sure, we are moving the equity funding to the lowest funded courts, not via workload formula.
Correct.
Right. That's right, because I think it was designed to aim for those courts who are below the average, isn't that right? To bring them up to average?
The lowest funded courts.
Right.
The average can move.
It all brings us up within a percentage of the average funding of all the trial courts, correct?
Right. Okay, so that's
I just want to, because Brandy has taught me to do this, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to make sure, so the recommendations as set forth on page 27 and 28, are what's being considered. Zlatko asked us, and I agree, the civil assessment allocation methodology is pending. But I don't believe we need to modify the actual wording of the recommendations. Is that correct? Zlatko, you're still with us, I think, or John.
I am. Yeah, just I think it's worth note. We should note that for the record.
Right.
This would be notwithstanding the civil assessment being allocated in another time.
So just so I'm clear, the motion that Judge Hill made is that this item be approved with the provision that civil assessments will be dealt with in a separate meeting. Does that sound like I've captured that appropriately?
Angela, I'd recommend that it state that the civil assessments will be handled independently.
Okay.
And certainly there's a desire to try to make it by July, if not July, certainly by September, as quickly as the budget committees can look at the issue and make some recommendations to the council for allocation of the funds.
Thanks, John.
And in fairness to the budget committee members, I kind of committed that we might be meeting in the next, as soon as FMS is done with their work, and then it goes to TICBAC, as soon as TICBAC has done its work, as soon as we can schedule a meeting with all the open meeting rules, we would do that. So there might be one in mid to late June, depending on how that works out.
You're right about that, Judge Rubin.
All right, so with that understanding that we're going to deal with civil assessments independently, is there a motion? Or I guess we have Brad's motion and Justice Hill's motion, and Justice Hill, that's your intentions, correct?
It is indeed.
Is there a second?
Harrigan with second.
I heard two. All right, who's seconding?
Mr. Harrigan.
All right, great. Harrigan seconds. All right, is there further discussion? All right, hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining? All right, motion passes unanimously. All right, Judge Conklin.
Thank you. This is the last allocation that we're asking you to consider. And this deals with consideration of the 22-23 pretrial allocations and funding floor adjustments. The pretrial allocations is a new item. It's brought forth, or the genesis, I guess, maybe is COVID. And that obviously gave, well, part of it is COVID, but the pretrial assessment itself and how important that is to the courts. And this is funding for those pretrial allocations. And again, just to remind you, the pretrial allocation is funding that are used by the trial courts as they deal with significant amount of work created by the new pretrial programs and pretrial responsibilities that we all have. When I say pretrial, I mean consideration by the trial courts and trial judges of individuals that are pending trial and their release status, to oversimplify. Today, we're assisted in this with Martha Wright, and Martha is going to present. Martha?
Yes, thank you. And I'll just mention I'm standing in for Deirdre Benedict, who is out today. But this presentation requests approval for what are really two key components involved in allocating $68 million for the fiscal year 22-23 pretrial allocation. So this funding is provided originally from SB 129, which you will remember began last year, providing ongoing funding statewide for pretrial programs, as Judge Conklin mentioned. So first you have, as an attachment to this item, the chart that's provided, and that calculates allocations for each court based on percent of 18 to 24-year-olds in that county. So that's an established formula, and that's where those calculations, that's what those calculations are based on. And then the second component is a recommendation to establish a funding floor of 200,000 for those courts that might even go below that amount based on that standard formula calculation. But it's been determined based on analysis of last year's pretrial programs and other pretrial pilot programs in the past that to really sufficiently operate, staff, establish, you know, an ongoing working pretrial program, even serving smaller populations, that the 200,000 is really a minimum sufficient amount. So that 200,000 is what you will see there for courts at the lowest amount. And those are the two components really of the allocation that are before you for your consideration. And if there are any other questions, we're happy to answer them.
Thanks. All right, so any questions for the presenters?
Yes, this is Judge Hopp. Okay, I'm sorry to pick on Alpine County, but alphabetically, they're kind of at the top of the list. That county has a population somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,200 people, but we're going to allocate them $200,000 to do pretrial services. I mean, that seems a little excessive, especially when we just adopted a base allocation of $950,000 for all of their operations. So if somebody could explain how that makes sense, I'd I'm sorry, that sounds offensive, but I'm trying to understand why we picked 200,000 for even the smallest of counties like Alpine.
And my understanding is that based on the total amount statewide and the calculations based on the standard formula, which is 18 to 24 year olds, that 200,000 was available for the smaller courts as a number used across all of them. I think another component of the pretrial programs, though, that does make them a little complicated to operate, a little costly to operate, is the number of partnerships involved, establishing those partnerships and all the components of the program. So some portion of this funding is meant to go to those justice system partners, to probation. So, yes,
and that's an important point. The court only keeps 30% of this funding. 70% goes out to all the justice partners. And as I understand it, Judge Hopp, also, just because it's allocated doesn't mean they get it. They have to spend it. So it was the lowest amount possible. And you're right. Anytime we deal with, for lack of a better description, a funding floor, it can't be perfect. So I agree with you in the light of the total amount of allocations that's court's getting. $200,000 seems like a significant percentage, but that's going to flow through the court to their pretrial service agencies. And if those agencies don't spend it, they don't get it. So the court only keeps 30% of that at best.
Thank you. That does make sense. But I got to say, when this comes up a year from now, assuming I'm still on this committee, I'd probably like to talk about what we learned in the year that we've been implementing this and that floor in particular.
I think that's a great plan. I'll hold you to it if I'm still here a year from now too in this role. Because you're right, I think we need to re-examine it. This is sort of a first go at it, and I think it's a very valid attempt and very valid recommendation. But I would not be at all surprised if it's significantly modified after a year of implementation. No plan. What is it? No plan survives first implementation. So there we go. Yeah.
I think it was a military metaphor, first contact with the enemy. Anyway, with that explanation and understanding, I move to approve the recommendation.
Because this is Judge Moorman, can I just make a couple of additional comments in light of Judge Hopp's statement? So
yeah, go ahead, Judge Moorman.
I think it's important for the whoever might be listening in on this particular subject to understand that while the methodologies allow the trial courts to retain 30%, most of the trial courts are passing them through because they're initiating these programs from nothing. I mean, some of the bigger courts and bigger counties, more populated counties, have pretrial programs that they may be making adjustments to or refinements to or possibly and probably expanding. I don't have the number, but there are many, many, many courts that are starting pretrial services programs from scratch. And I think the $200,000 figure had that fact in mind, that there are startup costs in terms of developing and adopting the risk assessment model to be used, funding positions for the pretrial service officers to, you know, perform their duties, prepare reports, get them to the court, all in a manner that is consistent with whatever the case management system is. So there's, I think I agree strongly that we should look at the formula in a year, but I think there are, I think the $200,000 figure incorporates into its theory the initial startup costs and resource consumption that's involved. And I'll second the motion.
All right, so we have a Hopp moves, Moorman seconds. I did want to make a comment. This is David Rubin. So for anybody listening, the plight, if you will, of our constituents in smaller counties is of the same importance to us as those in larger counties. So I want to make sure services are being provided statewide to those who need them. And so we're sensitive to that. It's obviously, as you've heard in this discussion, imperfect, but it is our goal to make sure that no matter where you are in the state, you're getting the same level of services. To that end, there is a certain point below which it's just impossible to scale something down. as we've learned with the smaller courts. It's just a certain base amount that they need to operate, which is looks disproportionate when you compare it to larger counties, but it's just you can't get the numbers any lower. We may or may not be at that point with 200,000, but the conversation you're hearing is sensitive to all those tensions. And so I just wanted to make sure we were kind of all in that space. So, all right, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? All right, not hearing any. Is there, all right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained. Outstanding. It passes unanimously. Judge Conklin, and to all the presenters from the staff and budget services and everywhere else, thank you so much.
Oh, we've got more to go. That.
Oh, I thought we had I thought remote video was somebody else. Is that you?
Yep. I mean, I can pass it off. Sorry. Mike, I'm more than happy to.
No. I always
love your Michelle Allen.
All right. So it's Ms. Allen and remote video and Judge Conklin. Go ahead.
I hate to break it to you, but I got the rest of your agenda. So this is the last action. Well,
how exciting.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. This is the last action item we're presenting to you today. It is having to do with the workload formula from fees imposed under Government Code Section 70630. And it has to do with remote appearance fees, which, again, is a new animal given COVID. And those are the fees related to exactly what it says, remote appearances. This is a relatively small financial item compared to all the rest, but it is important. And rather than confuse you all with it, I'll turn it over to Michelle so she can clarify it.
Morning again. This is Michelle Allen with Budget Services. Item 5 of the agenda includes two trial court budget advisory committee recommendations related to fees imposed under Government Code Section 70630, video conferencing or remote appearance. Provide some background, Government Code 70630 outlines the ability for courts to charge a reasonable fee for offering video conferencing, which should then be deposited into the trial court trust fund. Currently, these fees are deposited into the trial court trust fund on a statewide level and are dispersed to courts through the regular council-approved allocation process. The language does not prescribe the specific distribution of fees collected for these appearances. In December of 2021, the Council adopted California Rules of Court Rule 3.672, effective January 1st, 2022, which outlined provisions for charging video conferencing fees to parties in civil cases related to paid filing fees and fee waivers. Rule 3.672 also does not prescribe the specific distribution of fees collected for these appearances. And the first recommendation on page 43 for consideration is to approve fees deposited into the trial court trust fund as a result of Government Code Section 70630 be distributed back to courts on an ongoing dollar-for-dollar basis, retroactive to January 1st, 2022, when Rule 3.672 was effective. As it relates to the second recommendation, excluding this revenue from the workload formula effective July 1st, 2022 is consistent with other fees, such as court reporter fees, and would enable courts to offset the costs of these services with these associated fees without the amount impacting how their workload formula is calculated. In regard to the amount of revenues collected under Government Code Section 70630, they have ranged in hundreds of dollars statewide in recent years and are outlined on Table 1 on page 42 of the materials. These amounts may increase based on the change in Rule 3.672. That concludes our presentation, and we are happy to take any questions.
All right, any questions for Ms. Allen or Judge Conklin regarding the video remote appearance feed issue? All right, hearing no questions, is there a motion?
Harrigan moves that we adopt the recommendation.
All right, motion Harrigan. Is there a second?
Fujisaki second.
All right, Justice Fujisaki seconds. All right, is there further discussion? All right, hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And abstain. So I'm I want to thank everybody. I know that delay seems like it's because everyone's on mute and had to unmute and then vote. So thank you, everybody, for muting. All right, great. That motion, that item passes unanimously. I think now we're moving into the, that's the last action item. I think we move now into the informational items. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. That's as far as TICPAC goes. Those are our five action items. We've got two informational items for you. And we've got Nick Armstrong here on the first one. This is an annual update concerning self-help. This is an annual update of the three-year average population data from the California Department of Finance Demographic Research Unit and population estimates for cities and counties and the state. Again, it's an informational item only, and I'm going to turn to Nick to give us this update. Nick, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Judge Coughlin, and good morning, everyone. So yeah, this is simply a brief informational item regarding an update to the rolling three-year average population data we obtained from the California Department of Finance. And just as a little bit of background on this, at its September 2018 business meeting, the council adopted three policy recommendations regarding self-help funding. The first is that staff would update the allocation every 3 years with the latest three-year average county population data for proportional allocation after baseline funding. The second recommendation is that in between this three-year update schedule, staff would annually provide an update of the latest three-year average population data as an informational-only item, but not to update the funding allocation itself. This is just to keep courts aware and up to date of any potential shifts in population and better prepare for the allocation update that does occur every 3 years. And then third and lastly, we would maintain the current self-help allocation baseline of $34,000 per court and revisit that baseline level in 2021. This was revisited last year at the July 2021 business meeting, where the self-help funding allocation was recalculated using the latest population data. Also, the three policy recommendations were retained, including the continued use of the $34,000 base per court. So this report addresses that second recommendation in providing an informational update to the three-year population average and the corresponding update to each county's percentage of the state total. The update can be found in columns C and D of Table 1 in the report, which is on pages 45 through 47 of the materials. The table also includes the current population averages and percentages of the state total used for proportional allocation. Those are in columns A and B, and these will continue to be used until fiscal year 24-25, which is the next scheduled update to the allocation. So that concludes my briefing, and I can answer any questions if there are any.
All right, any questions on this item? Well, that was really interesting, and thank you for doing that. That's a lot of work, but necessary. All right, Judge Conklin.
Thank you. We have the last item for you today. Again, this is another informational item. We're thankful to have Cottrell with us. This relates to the quarterly report on how funds are expended for the funds held on behalf of, and though Cottrell can explain it much better than I could, just very generally, the funds held on behalf of, or it's a tool that allows trial courts to maintain funds for committed projects, essentially. So they've got ongoing projects. They can roll over funds from year to year to make sure they can complete those projects. This is an update on that. And Cottrell, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. And good morning, everyone. My name is Cottrell Wood. I'm a senior analyst in budget services. So info item two, which is included as pages 48 through 54 of your materials, is the trial court trust fund funds held on behalf expenditure reporting. And now just to provide a little background, upon completion of TCTF or trial court trust fund funds held on behalf projects or planned expenditures, courts are required to report to the TICBAC within 90 days on the project or planned expenditure and how those funds were expended. Now, earlier this month, the Judicial Council approved a TICBAC recommendation via a circulating order to receive this update, as well as the status of non-completed projects on an annual basis. As a result, this will be the last quarterly report provided. However, we will continue to provide annual reports, and the next annual report to the JBBC is scheduled or is planned at the end of this calendar year. Now, for this quarterly report, only Orange Superior Court indicated completion status on a case management system project, and a summary has been provided on page 54 of your materials. That concludes my presentation, but I'm more than happy to take any questions that the committee has.
All right, any questions?
regarding this informational item? Outstanding work. I'm not hearing any questions, so that was outstanding work. Thank you, and thank you for that presentation.
You're welcome. Thank you.
As always. I think Judge Conklin, that does conclude your... Do you have anything else you want to share with us?
No, except again, my sincere thanks to everybody that got this to this part. I mean, these allocations are so beneficial to the court, coming from the chief and Martin and all the hard work, John and Zlatko and all his staff. And then they filter down through Brandy Sanborn. And just, I know you all know the work that goes in, and I know we say this every time, but I think it bears repeating. This is a lot of money, and we're doing our best to responsibly administer the money. And thanks to all the work of the folks that I just mentioned and others, I think we maintain that path. So thanks for all your careful consideration today. Thanks for all the work that went into this, and you're not through with us yet. We've got a couple significant nuts to crack. It's all good, but it all requires work, and we continue to work diligently on that. I'll turn it back to you, Judge Rubin.
And on behalf of the Budget Committee, we continue to be, I think I can speak for my colleagues, I can certainly speak for myself, which is very impressed with the work of TICFAC. Obviously, with our oversight role, we are really doing a much deeper dive into your efforts. And we, like you say, it's amazing work that you all do and staff does, and we're just really pleased with it and grateful for all your hard work. So thank you for all you're doing.
Thanks.
So this is Judge Mormon. I just want to bring on one, just add a little postscript to that the materials that we get for these meetings are very thorough. They're very helpful. And I think it's should be said, so people who are listening in understand, we get a huge packet of information before these meetings. We got a huge one for this meeting. And it allows us to be prepared, read it, reread it, understand it. So the presentations go very smoothly, but the written materials is really outstanding. And I think we all appreciate that.
And I'll just say that if anybody thinks that these are pass-through items, you're sadly mistaken. These reports take a lot of work, and my experience with JBBC is that they are thoroughly reviewed, vetted, and I know that because I have conversations with folks before these meetings to get us to this point. So I've said enough, but I appreciate that comment, Judge Mormon.
Yeah, and kudos to the staff. I mean, to write reports like that we can actually understand, especially people like me who are a little numbers challenged, it's just really good. I mean, they really walk you right through it, and it's great work. So thank you again to the staff and to the TICFAC for kind of combing those reports over and making them understandable.
Ruben, if I may, I wanted to revisit.
All right. I can't quite hear who that is, but I think that's a good information. Yes, I was going to have a good of the order request from Zlatko. And Zlatko, I think you wanted to share some information about the BCP we've been discussing previously. Yeah. Go ahead.
It goes back to the beginning, and I didn't want to interrupt the flow, but I thought it was a good time to revisit. I just want to make sure and clarify that, yes, while we're combining the seizure individual items together, we also were going to incorporate them into the larger self-help issue. There's a nexus there in terms of what's happening with some online services. So we wanted to just clarify that and make sure that was understood by the committee as part of the combining and the sort of putting together of similar items before we submit them for consideration to the council. Any questions?
Any questions for Zlatko?
This is Judge Hopp. The only question I had is kind of a more general one, if you don't mind, for Zlatko and John Wardlaw. Any other or updated information about the budget process and the what the legislature and the governor might be negotiating?
It has been very quiet, to say the least. But, you know, this is an evolving process. I think the legislature is engaging in negotiations. Certainly they have to have a bill in print by June 12th for it to be voted on by the 15th. And so while there have been no budget hearings this week and last week, we know that there are discussions happening as we've been brought in to provide technical assistance on some issues. for the legislature. And so we know that there's discussions happening. They're just not in the public eye at this point.
And then again, this is Judge Hopp. And then just to sort of follow up on that, have we heard anything about budget trailer bills that might affect the courts?
Those would all be part of what is being discussed now. And we do stay very connected to both the legislative staff and the Department of Finance so that we are seeing not only the numbers, but also any language that's happening. And it's not just trailer bill language, but any potential budget bill language that'll go along with the dollars. So we're trying our best to stay on top of it, notwithstanding the lack of hearings. We stay in contact with, like I said, the legislative staff and the Department of Finance almost daily.
Thank
Judge
you.
Judge Hopp, this is John Wardlaw, just briefly. Totally agree with everything Zlatko's just shared. We're not hearing anything that would suggest challenges or problems with the items that we have proposed in the governor's budget. All the major items are still there, and we're not seeing any red flag signals of any kind at this point. There's a lot of conversation going on right now about civil assessments and whether or not the state general fund should be the source of funding for the judiciary, and rather than having civil assessments come into the trial court trust fund, perhaps redirecting right over to the state general fund, and then the general fund be the source of funding for the judiciary, which we are very supportive of that. Hopefully that will get some traction there. I am hearing they're interested in trailer bill language on that item, so fingers crossed there. The other big topic being discussed is the CARE Act and the CARE Court, and how that's going to unfold over the next year.
Great, thank you.
Well, those are good questions. Any other questions for the good of the order for the staff or each other? All right, hearing none, I just wanted to thank all of you again, and sorry for the little bit of hectic nature. A lot of us are in cars and whatever, but I want to thank everybody for participating, and I want to thank again TICBAC and Judge Conklin and staff for doing that, and as always to our staff for everything they do for us to support us. Thank everybody. We do have a big meeting, as always, our big budget-heavy council meeting is July. But as I promised you, we're going to have an interim meeting likely between now and then. So if you could kind of keep an eye on your emails, and then we will get that squared away. Anything else by anybody, Judge Mormon? Anything from you?
No, thank you very much. It's good to see everybody. Appreciate all the hard work. I'll move to adjourn.
All right. Move to adjourn. Wow. Okay. Did anybody object? Did anybody object? I think Todd Bakke objects. All right. With that, thank you, everybody, and we're in recess.
Bye-bye.